hundreds of thousands hold their breath on Merseyside. It's Xabi Alonso for 3-3, it's saved! And Alonso follows it in! It's wonderful! It's marvellous! It's 3-3 in the European Cup final!
And this is the Red Agenda, brought to you by The Athletic. Every week, a look at Liverpool Football Club, and it's a bit of a special this week. I'm Steve Hoversall. James Pearce here, as always, and it's a goalkeeping special, so who better to bring into the studio to look at Liverpool's fortunes this season than the man who coaches the keepers, John Achterberg. Welcome along, John.
All right.
Nice to see you. What a time to have a guest like this, eh, James?
I know, we're very privileged. 10 years as well, isn't it, John? It's coming up to you in terms of your time at the club.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yes. 10 years? Yeah. Goodness me, does it feel like 10 years, John, at Liverpool?
No, the time flies, to be honest. I think I can do a long time longer, to be honest. You enjoy every day. So your passion is your job. So you never have a day where you don't want to go in.
I mentioned to John before we were recording, that actually he's quite active on social media. And he's really quite positive, as you'd expect, as you'd want from a football coach. But of course, within those 10 years, there's been a few rocky rides at times, hasn't there? And different years would have presented you with different challenges. I mean, it's all smooth at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It's been a lot of negativity too, you know, that's part of football anyway. But you always have to stay calm on things like that and don't react on people can have their own opinion, you know. As long as it stays in the boundary, but there's quite a few go a little bit over or badly over, but then you still have to stay calm with it, to be honest.
Right, got lots to talk about. Of course, Liverpool setting new records. Each week we sit down, James, and we talk about a new band of records that Liverpool seem to be penning. So this weekend against Spurs produced what for the Reds?
So yeah, the first team ever across any of the five major European leagues to pick up 61 points out of the first 63 on offer at the start of a season, which in itself is extraordinary. I think it also made it a full 38 Premier League games now without defeat.
So that's a season, basically,
yeah,
isn't it?
An entire season.
It's just a shame it wasn't starting August and finishing May, although it might happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, those two things just kind of put into context what this Liverpool team are doing, isn't it? It is absolutely unprecedented. It wasn't the prettiest game down at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday night. I was down there, but you know, again, it was another one of those examples of this team's remarkable ability to dig deep and grind out a result when not at their best. And also, the other thing that struck me was just, it was ridiculous to go to somewhere like that and just see Tottenham play so negatively. I mean, we probably expected it with it being Mourinho, but you know, I remember checking after about half an hour, Liverpool had 80% of the ball. Which, when you're going away to, let's not forget, these are the two Champions League finalists from 6-7 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it was complete and utter domination, and it was, you know, the only frustration was the game wasn't put to bed before what ended up being a little bit of a nervy finale.
I mean, these games are always going to be tough, aren't they, John? I mean, you might have expected to be playing a Mourinho side that was defensively set up. You know, he's thinking maybe they'll just have 1-2 chances on the break and nick something, but it's always going to be tough to get past Tottenham Hotspur.
They're a good team, no, and obviously, yeah, his tactics were not to attack but sit back and hope that they get the break or a lucky moment. And in the end, what James said, we could have scored a second and third goal to kill the game off, and then it was done. But they stayed in the game till the last second because of that. So we expected the day to play like that, and we did well with it to control it. But you know, even if you control it, there's always that one or two moments, or you know, they give a corner or free kick, and then they stay in the game with it. But you know, the boys, they keep going and keep fighting for the result.
Amongst those records that are being racked up defensively, Liverpool have turned into an absolute fortress at the moment. So how many games in terms of clean sheets?
I think that's six successive Premier League clean sheets, isn't it? I think since Joe Gomez came back into the side, Liverpool haven't conceded.
Oh, music to John's ears. Look at him.
Yeah. It's funny because, of course, earlier on in the season, I remember doing a piece probably 2 or 3 months ago where we were talking about the lack of clean sheets. Liverpool hadn't kept one don't think they'd kept one at Anfield since May. It was like in the first half of the season, and it always just seemed to be, you know, even when Liverpool were winning games, they'd make just one little lapse in concentration that would give the opposition the goal. But you know, they've tightened up so much. I mean, what would you put that down to?
Yeah, I think they find the mode again. Really, you know, it's difficult to say. And what you said, there was then the one moment where the opponent got a small chance and it go in. And yeah, at the moment, it seems like everyone is back in the right place at the right time, and defend as a unit and working really good together. But it starts already on the front, no? You defend, we attack with all 11, and we defend with all 11. So on that side, yeah, we seem to get more solid again. And yeah, obviously that is needed, because sometimes you just need one goal to win a game. And now we are back in that positioning where one goal is winning.
Those are the margins. And actually, I don't know if you compare the number of 1-0 wins to previous seasons, it seems like Liverpool have become a bit more diplomatic with the way they're willing to see through games.
Yeah, I would say you want to win always with 3 and 4 and keep a clean sheet. but you know, that's not always how it works, no? Most teams, they go in a different way into the game. They all be more compact and try to give not much away. So we always have to create something. The good thing is that the boss have created with the coaches the way of work and the way how we can break teams down. In the past, we struggled with teams who sit back with 11. And, you know, we could end up being a 0-0 or 1-0, but obviously the owners make the pitch better with a raining system in it, so we have always a wet pitch, which helped the speed of the game. Because I always remember in the pre-season, I was always worried if we play Sunderland at home on a sunny day, we would be struggling because the pitch was too slow to move the ball quick to create things. But now actually, the way we play and the way the players know by training how to break teams down and where to find the solutions, that is the trick really behind it.
I'm interested in so many aspects of John's job, not least the relationship with the manager. You did a really good piece with Pep Linders, didn't you, in the past week? And because it is Jurgen Klopp and Jurgen has this spotlight on him, there tends to be this focus on everything that he does. So, you know, how he deals with his right-hand man, with John, etc. What did you get out of that piece with Pep Linders in terms of how Jurgen's backroom staff feed off him?
Yeah, I think kind of what struck me was, you know, although Jurgen Klopp is this, you know, huge personality, huge figure, you know, arguably the greatest manager in world football, he also, I think, he understands that you need really good people around you. And he's not, you know, Pep Linders was talking about, he's not the kind of person that just wants people to say yes, boss. And you know, he wants to be challenged on a daily basis. He wants people to contribute, and he wants your ideas. And I think that's why Pep Linders was saying he loves going to work every day. The fact that he has that input, he's not just, you know, it's as far away removed as being an assistant who just puts the cones out as you could possibly get. I mean, Pep Linders is completely responsible for the, you know, designing and delivering the training program. And I think that's one of Jurgen Klopp's biggest strengths, looking in from the outside, in terms of course, tactically, you know, he's immense. And in terms of the man management side of things, I don't think I've ever met anyone who seems to have a better ability at getting the best out of people. But he also really appreciates, you know, he doesn't feel threatened, I think, by having strong, really knowledgeable people who are experts in their field around him. And certainly, you know, this guy here is certainly one of those.
Absolutely. Can you draw off some of those things that James is saying there?
Yeah, it's basically the truth, no? The boss wants you to tell him what you think. Obviously, he decides in the end the final decision, but he listens. And
he wants you to challenge him, John.
Yeah, you know, if he asks me what I think in the goalkeeping situation, I tell him. If we're looking for goalies, then I tell him you know, what I think, and then he can do things with it. But that's true, you know. He let us do our job and help, because we are his helpers, if you like. You know, we have to try to produce the best we can. That's how it is. And yeah, he knits everything together. And, you know, you can see it in the stadium, no? The crowd changed, no? Mm. And I said it before, it has to, you know, when we were playing from the back, it was always pressure on the goalie. The goalie changed it, but also the boss, the way he calmed the stadium down. And the passion he brings to the players, but also to the crowd, no? Because that's the truth, eh? He can motivate the players on the field by the way he speaks to them and the way he is. I believe in that. If your manager is trying to get you to move into the right positioning, or say, come on, you have to be quicker or this or that, it helps, you know. I played myself, so you know how that feels. And yeah, in that way, he is really good. But off the field, it's the same, no? Then you can just have a good conversation with him. And yeah, he always say, yeah, I can be your friend, but not your best friend, because he can only play 11. But that's the truth, yeah. No? Yeah. That's the truth. And you know,
so everyone knows where they stand.
Yeah, you have to be honest as well. And that is also the major factor.
Mm. And we've seen the Jurgen Klopp on the sidelines, who can really express his emotions.
Yeah.
In a half-time team talk, if maybe things aren't quite going the way he would want.
Yeah.
And actually, he's been noted this season, hasn't he, for the number of things he's done at halftime that have changed games. Is he quite willing to lay down the law?
Yeah, I think that's his job too. Eh? But the thing is, you can be, if you're not happy with how it goes, can you produce the solution? And that is a major thing, you know. Obviously, Pete is on the bench writing always down for different situations. And then in halftime, the coaches come together. Pete explained to the boss a few situations. And the boss sometimes say to Pete, we need to have this moment as well. And then they decide very quick, one or two positive or negative, what needs to be better. So the team talk can be a little bit on an aggressive way, but always giving the right solution and what they have to do to change it, you know. At the moment, we probably didn't have too many bad situations, if you like, but there is always things what can be better. Mm. You know, if it's 0-0, then he'll say, we need to use this moments better. This is organization-wise what we have to change. And, you know, it works 90% of the time. It will come off. But also after the game, he always say something. And like the Tottenham game, he probably says, like, yeah, we win the game, but come on, we should have done this and this better. And, you know, we could do this and this better, which is always giving them the positives, but also the things what could be better, so you always stay on your toes. And I think that is what you have to create, no? You have to be always be ready for the next game and the next game. You can never
content, always be a bit better. I think, was it Andy Robertson who said after the game at the weekend, we can do better defensively, and yet they looked, you know, pretty perfect, didn't they?
I mean, that was what I was going to ask John about, because that seems to be a mentality that runs right the way through the squad, because, you know, some of the players, you know, when that you'd have almost thought Liverpool had drawn or lost the game the way that they were talking in terms of the performance. I mean, there was a little clip on social media of Jordan Henderson as he walked off the pitch, and I won't say exactly word for word what he said to the manager, but he essentially said that wasn't good enough. And, you know, Liverpool have just gone away to, you know, what is still one of the toughest places in the Premier League, and one. Virgil van Dijk, you know, when he spoke to us after the game, you know, he said, you know, there's so much we can do better than that. You know, I was doing a piece on Virgil van Dijk on the weekend, and he was kind of the first player off the pitch afterwards, and you could see it almost like annoyed him, the fact that there were holes in that performance. And I think that must be great from a coaching point of view as well, as when, you know, clearly that's the message from Jurgen, but you can see that's almost in the players' heads, isn't it, that the standards are so high. They're not patting each other on the back.
But that's good, no? The players, they try to correct each other. sometimes they speak to each other as well about, oh, we need to do this better or that. So the chemistry between the players is very good. And yeah, like that's how it should be. No, never be satisfied, because the moment you get satisfied, that's the moment where your standard will drop. And that's how it is. You know, it's a mentally thing. You always have to produce the same or and want to be better. And I think nearly, well, I cannot name anyone who hasn't got that drive, really. And that drive is coming from the top, from the boss. He implement that by the way he's working. And he's saying to them sometimes in the team meeting, you know, you might look tired on the field, but you're not. You can run a lot more than what you do. You know, you always have to think like, this is the final. I need to give everything and I need to do more. And you can do more. And yeah, that is also what the players in the end get in their mind. And yeah, it seems to work, no?
John, it would seem from the outside that there's no massive egos, that everyone operates on the same level, which would probably contribute to what you're saying there. And you've obviously worked with different groups of players over many, many years, even though they probably are some of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Do you sense that, that there isn't egos that shine through perhaps that other teams
have. But I think also that is, again, what the manager there creates, no? Because if there would be an ego, he has to deal with it and try to put everyone in the same line. Because you all have to think about the same. We all want to receive the best, but you cannot do it only with 11. You need everyone in there, from the manager to the kitman, and from number one to number 41. You know, you all have to go the same way and work together to achieve the best we can. And I think that is what he tried to make happen, basically.
I mean, you're seeing these guys after every match as well, James. Is it? Do you feel that they all pretty much value themselves as a group?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things which has put Liverpool where they are today, the fact that, you know, there aren't any little cliques and little breakaway groups in the dressing room, and, you know, there aren't any big egos. I mean, compared to previous Liverpool teams of the past, that, you know, there would always be a few that would maybe stick out, as, you know, but that's one of the great things. And, you know, Pep Linders touched upon it in the interview I did with him. He said, of course there have to be egos in elite level football. He said, because of the way the environment is here and everyone has bought into it because of what Jurgen Klopp has created, it feels like there aren't any egos. You know, I know from speaking to a number of players that they really value the role that Jordan Henderson's played in that, as well as captain, in terms of the fact that everyone, you know, everyone is included, you know, the way that he makes sure that new signings are, you know, have got everything they need, that they're included in the group. And I think there was a story last week about Minamino, you know, being put in the dressing room, you know, next to Keita and Sadio Mane, you know, who obviously had played at Salzburg previously. And it gets talked about a lot, doesn't it? Especially, you know, every successful team, you always say, there must be a great dressing room, there must be. But there genuinely is. You know, that isn't always the case.
Shevchenko scored the winner 2 years ago. He's up against Dude. Will he hand Liverpool the European Cup?
Yes!
Yes! European champions! Jerzy Dude! The penalty save.
Well, this is the Red Agenda on The Athletic, and the podcast is brought to you in association with Stitch Fix, an online personal styling service that's taken all the hard work out of dressing well. So to get started, head to stitchfix.co.uk/athletic. You can fill in a style quiz. It tells you about your personal style, budget, shape, size, and your clothing needs and wants. And a personal stylist then sends you 5 items of clothing which they've handpicked especially for you. And it's from a selection of over 100 brands, including established names like All Saints, Ted Baker. There's all sorts on there. It's got cool emerging designers, exclusive brands as well that you're not going to find anywhere else. You can try stuff on at home and you can style with other items. Then you can pay for what you want and you can send back the rest. For your stylist time, you pay a charge of just a tenner, and that's deducted from the cost of anything you decide to buy. Delivery and returns free both ways. Don't need a subscription to sign up. So Stitch Fix allows you to save time because essentially they're doing the shopping for you and they're making you look great. Discover new styles. Your stylist could find some great items that you might never have picked out. And you can enjoy top styling tips as well. Our expert's going to give you ideas on how to wear the items that they pick out for you. So get started today. Head to stitchfix.co.uk/athletic right now. That's stitchfix.co.uk/athletic. And this is the Red Agenda on The Athletic. I'm Steve Hothersall, James Pearce here as always. And our special guest today is the Liverpool goalkeeping coach, John Achterberg. John, are you part of something special at the moment?
Not really, no.
No? It's a tough one.
Definitely trying to play it down.
No.
Well, look, even if you just looked at the record that's been set. So James mentioned 20 wins out of 21 games.
Yeah.
Put that into context as part of a coaching team. I'm not suggesting you should say how the season would end or anything like
no.
that.
No.
But put that into context.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you start the season, you want to win the first game coming up, and that's how you approach the game. You work every game to win the next one, with in the end to try to get to the goal you want to get to. No, that's how it is, and that's no lie. But there is so many factors in there. What can change it? No, decision, referee, opponents, really good teams. So, yeah, on that side, you have to focus as much as you can to want to win the next game and get the mentality and training right to win it. And I think that's what we've been trying to do. And at the moment, we're on a good way, but it's still a long way. No, it's 17 games, I think, left, if I'm correct. So, you know, we hopefully can keep doing what we've been doing.
John, you were on that open top bus, obviously going around the city, nearly a million people on the streets back in June after the Champions League final. Do you dare to even think yet about what this May could be like? You know, 30 yeah. years since Liverpool yeah. won the title. You know from being around the club for so long
yeah.
what it would mean to the supporters. You know, can you even dare to even think about what that could be like?
I had a few moments. A few years back, you know, we were close in yeah. in the year we finished second behind City, and we drove a few times to the game. The aggression of the people who were really believed, then you think if we do any time win something, it will be mad. And then obviously what happened in June, that was unbelievable. No, you can only hope that you come in that situation again. Because that's, you know, it's a lifetime experience. I think if you look in the world, I don't think any team will produce what was produced and probably can be produced here. Because, yeah, you only realize if you go on tour with Liverpool how big Liverpool is.
Yeah.
And if you go China or Thailand.
Australia
yeah, it's madness. Crazy. It's really madness. And obviously now it is booming, and I think we making new supporters again. No, so and hopefully we can keep doing it. And you know, hopefully this run never stops. That's how you want it to be. No, that's always a dream for everyone. Probably all the players, everyone. If you are a sportsman, you want to win, and you want to be happy, and yeah. Now we have to keep trying to do what we do and focus on the next game, big game Sunday, and see where it brings us in 17 games.
You want to make the people happy. How much did it hurt personally or as a coaching group the year that you so narrowly missed out?
Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really painful. Yeah, and painful and frustration. That's how you can put it, but in the end...
I mean, how long does that last afterwards?
Yeah, or it takes you a few weeks to get over. But the thing is, you have to reload, because the new chance to start again in the second week of August, the first game, everyone has to be ready. And on the first day of the preseason, it's the first week in July, normally you have to get the focus right and produce the training again and get everyone ready in the head and with the body to hopefully produce again.
But at the same time, I presume you're still thinking, how achievable is that? How do you match those levels? I mean, it's at the very top end of the game. Those margins are so hard, aren't they, to make?
Yeah, because there's a lot of good teams and a lot of teams who try to be better every year and buy players. And you see it, no teams, even like if you look at West Ham, they bought a lot of players. And then you think, oh, that they could be good too, no? And yeah, you know, City, United, they spend also loads of money. So
it's not just the answer, is it? It doesn't.
No, it's not. You have to try and yeah, important, like we talked about it, is having probably the best manager that will help. That is the truth, no? He is. You can have a good players, but that doesn't mean you have a good team. It starts with that too, no? And then you have the owners who provide the manager with the needs and try to get the right place. It's a big picture, you know, the scouting department looking for players. And yeah, obviously it starts with the leader from the team to create that and the owners who provide, you know, and that's how it works, no? And yeah, we cannot look more ahead than the next game. That's how it is in football.
Let's talk about the players you coach. So, Alisson Becker, he's won all the awards, James, hasn't he? In my opinion, it's only my opinion, best keeper in the world and continues to develop at an incredible rate. When you're watching him week in, week out, the number of attributes he's got just seem to shine.
Yeah, I think John touched upon it earlier on when he said the biggest impact I think he's made is in the atmosphere at Anfield at games where before Alisson, when Liverpool were building the game from the back and playing, you could almost sense almost a feeling of unease. But Alisson is such an impressive, commanding presence back there that I think he just kind of spreads calm and, you know, that, you know, especially with him coming in, what was it, 5-6 months after Virgil van Dijk. I mean, I struggle to put into words really how transformative those two signings have been. And you know, Simon Mignolet was not a bad goalkeeper. Loris Karius was a young goalkeeper who was prone to lapses in concentration and made some big errors. But the upgrade to Alisson Becker is just, you know, astonishing in terms of what he's done for this team. I think even Tottenham on the weekend, you know, his decision making in a split second is just, you know, so impressive. You know, the way that, you know, his starting position, the way, you know, he was bold and came out and dealt with difficult situations and he's made some really, really big saves. Even a couple of those late on the weekend where, you know, he's held shots where I think some keepers would have parried them away and that could have created an issue. Yeah, he's deserved all the kind of personal accolades that have come his way. You know, you think back to the Champions League final. I mean, how good was he the last half an hour of that Champions League final where Liverpool were on the ropes a little bit? And I did an interview with Ray Clements about 5 or 6 weeks ago now, and he was saying that the thing that strikes him, he said, you see some goalkeepers who will make big saves at 3-0 up or 4-0 up or 3-0 down or whatever, but he said Alisson has this amazing ability. He said, you look at the number of big saves he makes in tight games at 1-0 or 1-1, and how many times he influences the outcome. And, you know, of course, probably one of his most famous saves for Liverpool was the one against Napoli on the final group day last season, because, you know, without that, there would have been, you know, no Barcelona, there would have been no amazing night in Madrid and all the celebrations that followed. So, yeah, you know, I don't know what it's like to work with him on a daily basis, but it's an absolute pleasure to watch him in goal every week.
Let's find out. Is it his consistency that you're most impressed with, John?
Yeah, it's true. It's consistency, and like James said, you know, it's important to make the vital saves where it's 0-0 and 1-0, because when it's 3-0, then it's no need really. If you're 3-0 down or you're winning 3-0, yeah, it's about when it's 0-0 and 1-0 to keep the team on the right side and keep them in the game. And yeah, that's what he produced. And you know, we can only be happy that he is our goalie. No, that's how it is. Huh? And hopefully we can keep that consistency. And that's what he has to find, his drive to keep that consistency for a long time. And that is where things you talk with him about, you know. Yeah, we don't, you win all them trophies, can reproduce it again, you know. You need to get that. That's the same as the mode for winning the next game. No, you want to win the next trophy, and you want to stay in the same way of play. You want to be the best goalie, stay the best goalie, and that's how you create your own drive in it.
And he's young, isn't he?
Yeah, he,
you know, particularly to be picking up all those awards.
For me, he can be another 5 years on this level. No, that is how it is. No, and hopefully he will do that. And yeah, we try to help him there with the training and keep him ready for every game. And hopefully we have a lot of enjoyment to come still.
Keep him improving. We hear that the training for the first team is done at the same sort of intensity as a match day, in a way. How does that work with the goalkeepers group? Because are you often split off from that main group just to do your own stuff?
But that's true. We do a lot separate training, because you have to prepare for games. You have to physical, keep the goalie fit, power, speed, reactions. You have to work on that. And that is what we try to do. And yeah, in my mind as a coach, I always thought, you know, that you need to work on speed, match speed, and match speed shots, speed movement, because
match speed being what, as in
the highest
reaction?
The highest movements, the highest reactions, the highest decision making, because it's a kind of brain training too. No, you have to learn to make quick decisions under high pressure. You have to instinctively react quick. So what we try to do is recreate stuff what happens in the game on the highest level and repeat that in a very short time fast. So you have to be in the right position at the right time, in the right balance, in the right body shape. And then I always want to work in the goal, because, again, you teaching the body, the brain, that if the ball is in this positioning, you have to be in that positioning. And in the end, the goalie makes the decisions on the field, you know, because you cannot control decision-making from the goalie. And that is what Alisson does so good. He nearly always make right decisions, and that's why you end up what you're doing.
It's almost like a repetitive training exercise, isn't it, that's drilled into your head. But I suppose what you can't teach is the footwork and the confidence, because he makes it look easy, James. I don't know whether you see this. You know, it's a bit like Virgil van Dijk. You think he's barely broken sweat.
Yeah.
But you look at Alisson, you think he's always in the right place.
Yeah. And it's not coincidence, is it? I think you go back to that save against Napoli, and I know there was a bit of a debate afterwards about, oh, it's just hit him. And it's like, it hasn't just hit him, because he's in the exact right spot. And you look at his movements in the split second before the shot was taken on. I think it was Milik, the Napoli player, who had that chance. And the way in which he manages to make about 2 or 3 yards to suddenly, you know, I imagine if you're an attacking player facing him, suddenly it looks like the goal shrinks, because he does have this presence to him where, you know, he's so alert to come out and narrow angles that he makes it very, very difficult to find a way past him. I mean, I'm interested, John, because obviously you must have watched him a lot before Liverpool went and bought him. And obviously it was a huge amount of money. He was the most think he was only probably for about a week, wasn't he, before Chelsea did their business. But he was the most expensive goalkeeper in the world. From watching him closely, you obviously build up a picture of him. How did the actual reality of working with him on a daily basis compare? Like, did he even surprise you in terms of his qualities? Or
obviously, you at that time when I look, I thought he is the best we could get.
Yeah,
you know, because he is at Bayern, he was really good for a long period. But the clubs in the bigger, the keepers in the bigger team, they are difficult to get out. That's how it is, no? So you're looking at everything what is around. And yeah, the story obviously was like, I ask always and look always if there's new goalies arrive. And then I look at it, I like it, and I keep follow it. And stuff like that. Obviously, I speak to Doni, anything in Brazil, he say, look at him. So that was 2013 or so.
Yeah.
And then you keep following it. And obviously, in that moment, Szczęsny was the number one on his first year. And then Ali played some cup games, you keep watching. And then obviously the second year he was in the team and you watching. And we played a friendly in the US against him. And you say to the boss, told you about him, he is good. But you have a few more goalies you're looking at, no? Because you don't know what is possible. The club always decides if anything is possible. The scouting will also look at things and making movies of players and goalies. So it's a big combination from it. And in the end, if the club then decide we need a new goalie, then you can say, this is number one in my opinion, number two and three. And that's what you try and do. And then, you ask also Mo. I said to Mo, what do you think? He said, he's unbelievable goalie.
So, the ultimate endorsement.
But you ask people without, because if it's me, I would go out if I sign a goalie to try and see him train. And you watch next to the game, you want to see what he's like in training too. But obviously that was difficult to manage because you cannot just go in. So then the decision is made. And then, he comes to the door and after 5 seconds training, you think, that's a keeper. Because the speed he has and the power, that is of highest level. Because and if you talk about the Napoli, we tried to see it, and you will see it a few times in the game, the speed he has, he can actually change the speed in movement if it's needed at that present time. So like the ball fall there close, he basically, I think there was one game he had the fastest sprint of the whole team. So that says,
wow, that's remarkable, isn't it?
That says how powerful and speed he has, and obviously everything together, that's how it is.
I mean, that's even more remarkable considering a goalkeeper, that would be from a standing sort of start from a player who isn't continuously running around the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think one of the hardest things is the concentration element, particularly with the Liverpool team, because they spend most of the time attacking. So if you're Alisson, your number of minutes where you actually have that involvement has to be reduced, doesn't it? It's a concentration of mentality.
Yeah.
It must be one of the biggest elements of this last game.
That's true. It's if you play for Liverpool, you only have to wait every game for this one or two moments you need it, and you have to be there. And that is playing the game always. And I always say, for instance, before the game or in halftime, make sure you stay warm and keep the players switched on. So, by talking to players or keep moving yourself. If you're on the ball is on the other side, it can be really cold. You're warm, so then your body stays ready. And, obviously that is something from my own experience playing, but then you basically try to give that information. And he can use it, and that's up to him if he uses it. But his concentration level and his mind is really good, and that shows that he has a high level of concentration and focus. And for a club like Liverpool, that's vital.
So what you need, we mentioned the Napoli save. What are the saves? Would you maybe, he made a brilliant one against Manchester United, didn't he? Last year. smothered the ball, didn't he? Is there other moments that you sort of look at that you go, well, that's Alisson at his best?
Yeah, but there's too many, you know. You know, he mentioned the Tottenham. That's true, no? He makes sometimes the saves look so easy. And it's not always because your body has to stay calm. You have to make the right decision. You have to be in the right positioning, and you have to put the ball in the right place. You know, you always have to also be calm if something doesn't go well. No, because no one is perfect, and that's what you see and try to do.
Yeah, we saw that mental strength last season, didn't we? Quite early on, when the mistake at Leicester, and John touched on it earlier on, that there's such a focus on Liverpool goal. You know, Liverpool won that game at Leicester, yet every back page the following day was about Alisson's mistake. You know, this £65 million keeper, you know, what a blunder and all the rest of it. But you only have to look at the way he reacted in that game. There was, you know, to be able to, you know, he obviously got a whole array of qualities, but that mental strength, you know, does seem huge, doesn't it? As a goalie, to be able to put that, to be able to put that behind you and just instantly move on, especially when you're in a hostile environment where, you know, essentially people are relishing your personal misery in that exact moment, aren't they? But he seems to just be able to draw a line under it and move on. And
yeah, but it is important, no? Because again, that's a mental situation. You make a mistake, but it's about what you can produce. And to be honest, that this goalkeeping, if you make a mistake, the best goalies, they put it away, and if nothing happens, and they're ready, and then he still makes that one or two saves, and then we can still win the game, and that is how it is, you know. And he produced that, and yeah, it's focus and mental, I think it's very important if you play for a club like Liverpool, because there's a lot of pressure from outside, and yeah, he has handled it unbelievable well. No,
he's enjoying life here. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
You see pictures of him on social media.
Yeah,
the boys like to get together.
But he's really positive and cool guy. Yeah.
He looks cool. Have you seen the pictures with the cap and the continental flair?
You can sense that even at Evian on that training camp. He got the guitar out, didn't he, on his for his initiation song?
And yeah,
you,
that's true.
You saw some of the videos on social media about, you know, various players absolutely mercilessly killing songs with some painful renditions, and then suddenly Alisson gets the guitar out. I think he did "Don't Look Back in Anger" by Oasis. I think he did, didn't he? And absolutely nailed it. And yeah, I think that was probably when the other goalies went, bloody hell, is there anything this fella can't do?
I mean, you always, we talk about Ali, but we need to have a good goalie squad, no?
Yeah.
And that's how it is, and that's what you try to have. And
well, let's go on to them then as well. So yeah. Adrian, you've got Lonergan, you've got a young lad in Quvin Kelleher as well.
Yeah.
Is it a really good group to work
with? Yeah, they also can work really good together on the field and off the field. There's a good way. But I think it's like with, you have to try to have a good team, you know, because you always have to prepare that if number one is not there because of different reasons, then number two has to do it, and number three has to be ready. You know, we have played in the past with number three in the cup, in the semi-final cup. So you have to try to create that, with the coaches, to have a good team in the team like that. And make sure everyone is ready, because what we try to do with Ali, we try to do for the other goalies as well. Obviously, Jack come in to be my assistant, to help as well. So we, we keeping things fresh. You know, he's a younger guy, so he has obviously more energy, and that helps again also for training. So you always have to try to build and create a good team in that way as well.
Yeah, because we've seen some of those other keepers in important moments for the club. So whether it be Kelleher in the 5-5 with Arsenal, or whether it be Adrian in the Super Cup, You know, yeah. these boys are actually properly involved.
Yeah, and again, it kind of goes back to what we've seen throughout the squad at different stages of the season in terms of the environment and the setup being there to help players ensure that the training is of such a high standard that when the opportunities do come along, that they're ready to then grasp that opportunity. We've seen it with, you know, Shaqiri and Keita and, you know, Joe Gomez, his form over the last couple of months. I mean, there's been so many examples of players who haven't really had many opportunities suddenly being thrown in and grasping it. And obviously the FA Cup tie against Everton was probably the perfect example of that. I mean, I've been massively impressed by Adrian because, you know, you go back to the opening night of the season and I think a lot of Liverpool fans would have left. You know, that was such a bittersweet night, you know, emphatic win, but you know that Alisson's not going to be out there for quite a while. I mean, you know, it was, I think one of the funny things of, you know, the misconceptions around this season is there seems to be a lot of talk about Liverpool have been lucky in some kind of way, and there's been kind of a focus on, you know, City have lost Laporte and how, you know, that much that hurt them. But you actually look at Liverpool have lost some big key players for really long periods. I mean, Alisson was out for 10 weeks. And I must admit, I thought, you know, that's going to cost Liverpool points. And it actually didn't cost them a single point. And, you know, when you think that Adrian was out of contract middle of August, I think he was just training back home in Seville, wasn't he? And, you know, suddenly to get thrown in like he did and, you know, up and down, you know, he had a crazy week, didn't he? With like the making his debut after probably, what, three training sessions and then, you know, the up and down night he had in the Super Cup, and then, you know, he made the mistake at Southampton when he, you know, he was, even at Southampton, he was a big doubt for that game, wasn't he? Because he'd been taken out by a pitch invader during the celebrations in Istanbul. Mm. I mean, it was, he had a mad couple of weeks where he went from being without a club to suddenly experiencing all this. And then, you know, again, on the sidelines for a number of months, knowing that he's not really going to get a look in when Alisson is performing at the level he's at. But then, you know, how good was he in the FA Cup tie against Everton? You know, he, afterwards, all the talk is obviously about the way in which the young players stepped up and delivered. But, you know, without those three or four big saves first half, that tie would have been over. So he, you know, he must have impressed you, Adrian, you know, with the impact he's had at the club.
Yeah, very, very much, to be honest. It's great, you know, he comes through the door and, you know, you think you need to do a bit work to get him fitter and get ready. And obviously the chance was not there because after 3 days he has to come on against Norwich. So, but then you have to try to help him as best as you can. Oh, you need to know and find out quick what he likes, what he needs, what we have to do. You know, obviously we have the game preparation, the way we train, but we need to make sure that he has the warm-up where he feels happy with at the day of the game. So you discuss that because, he is the man to produce. So we need to help him as good as we can then to find a way so he feels good to go in the game. And you know, he has done an amazing job, really. Every time he's been called up, he has been there, you know, and he is an unbelievable guy for the team, a really good, positive guy in the dressing room. And yeah, we could not complain anything on that. And, you know, you mentioned the Southampton, he made a small mistake. But also then you have to stay calm, you know, because no one is perfect. And there's no goalie in the world who doesn't make a mistake. You know, you just have to try to say, okay, our way, next time we focus on the next game or the next moment, because then you have to produce the good things again. So, and that is a way of work as well.
Goalkeepers come under more scrutiny, don't they? I mean, you know that from your own playing career, don't you?
Yeah, but that's true, no? But that's also a drive, no? As a goalie, you try to create, you know? You need to create. I want to play better than the opponent goalkeeper. I want to be better than the other goalies in the squad. I want to be the... make 10 clean sheets as quick as I can, things like that. You need to put yourself targets. I always was like telling myself, oh, tomorrow I need to do this, I need to do that. It's like you always focus on what you have to do, and I think that's what probably all the keepers do if you want to reach the highest level.
You're very much a student of the game. You love that. You've watched loads of videos, live games from all over the world. Do you find yourself learning a lot from the players that you're surrounded by now? Is it a constant?
You're learning always, no? Yeah. There's no time which you don't learn. When I start to be a coach, you have your tactical thinking, your technical thinking, but then you have to find a way always to help someone to improve. And I think when I start coaching 6-7 year olds, that's where you really start thinking, oh, this boy or girl is find it difficult in this kind of movement. How can I create a session that I can improve that kind of level? Mm. And it sounds mad, but if you then go to the first team goalkeepers who can do all that movement, that makes you think how to make sessions and be inventive and try to think about the game, what happens in the game, what is the best we need to let them train this week for this game or that game, you know, to prepare. And I think you become as a coach always more and more better with different experience, and off the other goalies you're learning, you see things, you talk, you're watching other games, other goalies, and by coaching you learn, and you learn different characters, you know, how to handle things, and I still enjoy that every day.
Lisa puts it back into the box. Header or goal? Oh, he's got it! And the captain has delivered a blow to AC Milan. They may be three goals down, Liverpool, but Steven Gerrard has urged the thousands of Reds fans inside here to get to their feet. A headed goal from the captain.
And this is the Red Agenda, and the Athletic podcast is brought to you in association with Stitch Fix. It's an online personal styling service, taking all the hard work out of dressing well. So to get started, you can go to stitchfix.co.uk/athletic. You fill in a style quiz and you write down things about your personal style, your budget, your size, your shape and your clothing needs. A personal stylist then sends you 5 items of clothing, which are especially handpicked for you. That's from a selection of over 100 brands, including established names, big names like Ted Baker. There's all sorts on there, All Saints. There's some cool emerging designers as well, exclusive brands that you're not going to find anywhere else. You then try on everything at home, style yourself, decide what you like, and you can pay for what you love and send the rest back. And for your stylist time, you pay a charge of £10. That's deducted from the cost of anything you decide to buy. Delivery and returns are free both ways. You don't need a subscription to sign up. So Stitch Fix allows you to save some time because the shopping's done for you. Discover a whole new set of styles. Your stylist could find some great items that you might never have picked before. You get some styling tips as well. So the experts giving ideas on how to wear the items. And it's dead easy to do. Get started with Stitch Fix and support the podcast by going to stitchfix.co.uk/athletic. That's stitchfix.co.uk/athletic. Right, let's get back to our conversation with Liverpool's goalkeeping coach, John Akterberg. Things couldn't be much better. You're working with the best manager in the world. The best keeper in the world. We can say that, can't we? He's lifted all the trophies, hasn't he? Yeah. Best keeper in the world, and some of the best players in the world as well. Is it a little bit of a pinch yourself at times? Look at this incredible. Is there a day you go into work that you're not enjoying yourself, or is it just a constant smile on the face at Liverpool Football Club?
You have to enjoy every day, and I would never gone in to Liverpool one day or any day when I was a player that I didn't like to go in. I was probably always first one in, last one out, but that's true. I was always, you can think about when I was already a kid. I was probably 8-9. When the amateur team opened the door, I was the first one in. I actually gone to get the fella on the front door. You need to open up. I want to go in. That's the truth. And when it finished at 7 in the evening, I go home. And I have not changed in that way. And yeah.
I can back that up because I remember asking Jürgen about John and his role, and he described him as a goalkeeping maniac. And he said, I'm not sure he ever goes home. He said, whenever time I come into Melwood, he's already here. And whenever I leave, he's still here. So, yeah, this is a man fully 100% committed to his job and doing the best he possibly can for the club.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm in obviously in an amazing job. I get that, you know, and but I would have done the job somewhere else too. And I would then still enjoy and do what I do. But yeah, if you're working with this quality and level, manager, goalie, players, club, what can you dream of more, if you like? But yeah, it still is my passion.
This is the dream, isn't it? I just wanted to finally ask you, you know, when you're on the bench and you are a bench that enjoy displaying your emotions, aren't you?
Yeah.
Particularly you, John. You're not shy, are you, running out?
I know, but it's also... although I don't play, you play inside, you still play, no? You want to win the game. It's all your... I don't know if it's pressure, but for me, it's pressure because you always want to win and you want everything to go well. So sometimes it's also a pressure release if you score the winning goal in the last minute or whatever. Yeah, then you just have to really enjoy it, no? And that is your passion coming out, if you like.
Oh, cool. It's good, James, isn't it?
Oh. You love to see it, don't you?
But I had some bad moments as well when I just slide out and stuff like...
What, slipped over?
Yeah.
Right, well, when you do that thing which you're not allowed to say that you're possibly going to do, we'd like to see you back at the very in the middle towards the end of the year.
No problem, Steve.
Fingers crossed.
Cheers, James.
Cheers, John.
I'm sure you don't need it. But hope you've enjoyed the Red Agenda this week. Special goalkeeping edition with John Achterberg, James Pearce and myself, Steve Hothersall. Don't forget, you get all the podcasts ad-free if you subscribe to The Athletic and listen through the app. Subscribe now. You can get a 40% discount with the code LiverpoolPod. That code again, LiverpoolPod. We hope you're enjoying the Red Agenda. Please let us know. From James, John Achterberg and myself, Steve Hothersall, thank you very much indeed. And of course, we'll be back again next week with the Red Agenda.